Well, good afternoon, good morning, and good evening. Whatever time of day it is that you're listening to this program, welcome to Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. And not only welcome to Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff, but welcome to the 200th episode of Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. That's right. That's right, folks. We're at 200. It's been a long road, and it's actually been a long time since I've been on the air, which I apologize for, as my emails are going off here in the background. So, let me first just say that I wanted to thank everybody who has ever turned in to this podcast, whether it's been for a minute or two to check it out, or one of my faithful audience members that tune in to every episode and everything in between. This is episode 200, and the reason why there was a long break, which was almost 3 weeks, is I really wanted to have like a big, more of a celebratory, you know, 200th episode, and I actually did record one. I had both a good friend of the program, Matt, contributor, as well as Johnny on, and we did a draft preview show. We did an episode. It went about almost an hour and 20 minutes. And I and those of you who have been with me a long time know that on occasion I have issues with the podcast platform that I use. I won't name it because I'm not about throwing businesses under the bus. I just don't, you know, I don't know. You know, I just don't do that. But, you know, so recorded an hour and 20 minute draft preview with, you know, having Johnny on being a Commanders fan, you know, to talk about the top of the draft. And obviously they had a bunch of draft picks and obviously including the second pick of the draft, and, you know, had Matt on as well, who's obviously a huge contributor to this podcast as well. So, and we went through the draft and we talked about, you know, mostly kept it focused on the NFC East and the Eagles, of course, and Washington, giving John time to give his thoughts. And we also had John's, with John, we also had a another draft expert give his thoughts on the podcast as well. But unfortunately, after the podcast was over with, it didn't record. And so more time has gone by. This is another reason why those of you who have been listening recently know that I am merging and making a move to YouTube, and we're going to have a YouTube live podcast platform. And I also wanted to have that be the launch of episode 200. I thought it'd be great to have episode 200 launch with the YouTube, and still working on that. There's just some stuff. It takes a while, and clearly you guys understand it. I want to make sure that the launch is a successful launch. And so I want to make sure I'm very particular about certain things being ready for that. But that's the future of this podcast. And it's going to go to YouTube. And the channel is up for those of you just tuning in now. So you want to make sure you go to Philadelphia Eagles Talk /Jeff, G-E-O-F-F. Type that in your YouTube search. Find the channel and make sure you subscribe so that once we do launch, which is imminent, you guys will be able to not only listen to the podcast, but also be able to engage. And that has always been the footprint and the direction that I want to take this podcast, to be able to engage with the audience. You'll hear that probably from episode one on, whenever I mention that, that's always been like the goal of this program, is to talk to other Eagle fans and other fans in general, about football and about the Eagles. Obviously, this is the focus, and be able to engage with the fans, be able to answer questions on the spot, being able to see your comments and respond to them on the spot. All of those things is the future of this podcast, and the future is near. Rather than just saying it's going to happen by X date, like I've been kind of projecting, I'll just say that The plans are still moving forward, and the launch on YouTube is imminent. I'll just leave it that way. So again, the important thing is make sure you subscribe so that once we do launch on YouTube, you guys are right there and ready. So all that out of the way, this is episode 200, and I'm gonna have to do a draft recap. Apologize for the length of time in between and the fact that my last episode did not record. So that being said, man, is it time to be excited to be an Eagles fan. And Howie just worked his magic again, worked the draft better than maybe he has ever worked the draft, which says a lot because, especially in recent years, Howie has been just great at the draft. Now, draft picks, you always got to wait 2-3 years to see what they pan out. Some of them may end up not being as great and as exciting as we initially thought. Others definitely are. He's hit on quite a few recently. And this draft, I really honestly could not be any happier. I really couldn't. And I'm not just saying that. My focus, if this podcast did record, the previous one with a preview, and I may have mentioned it before in previous podcasts, that I wanted the Eagles to focus all on defense, pretty much all defense. Do we need to, spend a pick or so on maybe a backup tight end or building the offensive line depth? Sure. And running back, because with Saquon's injury history and the fact that, there's really not much depth behind Saquon, I could have seen them using a draft pick on the running back as well. Well, folks, let's just say this. And obviously the secondary has always been the big focus. And it's also, with Slay being as old as he is, I think he's 34, we need to certainly build our secondary, rebuild it. And Howie has been reluctant to do that pretty much his entire tenure here. Between linebackers and corners and safeties and so forth. So the Eagles, with the way that this draft was going in the first round, the guys that the Eagles were targeting, being cornerbacks and hopefully defensive players, we didn't know at the time. We just kind of assumed that they would be targeting those positions. The draft was all offense. I think it was the first 14 picks was all offensive players, which as an Eagle fan watching the draft, I was like just rubbing my hands together like, oh man, somebody's going to fall to us. And, there's rumors before the draft of how he was going to trade up again and, to get who he was targeting. And having the 22nd pick, you probably would have to get into the mid-teens in order to get probably who was somebody that he felt that he needed to make a move. And with the 2 second round picks that they had, would probably have to give one of those up in order to make that move. Well, again, the way that the draft was falling with hardly any defensive players being taken, the top corners of the draft were falling. And so Howie, being smart and not so much risky because he knew he'd probably get one of the top guys, but the guy that we found out later that the Eagles really wanted was Quinion Mitchell, the cornerback out of Toledo, who is by many respects the top cornerback in the draft. And Howie stayed pat, remained patient, and he fell to the Eagles at 22. So the Eagles pick Quinion Mitchell, who has a chance to start right away. I mean, let's face it, he's got that chance anyway. And then in the second round, they had the two picks. They had the 50th pick and the 53rd pick. And this is when Howie, early on the second day, made his move to move up. And it was for a guy that they actually said that they would have drafted in the first round had he been there. If some of those other guys went and then he was still on the board. So the Eagles made a trade, ironically, with the Commanders. We'll talk about this because we're going to have a follow-up draft podcast. It'll be the next one with Johnny and Matt. I'm going to bring them both on and we'll recap the draft, and we'll have Johnny's perspective of the Commanders, and we'll be able to talk about, you know, these moves that were made, because the Commanders and Eagles made a trade, and I think it was good for both teams, because the Commanders, not that they, the thing about the Commanders is I don't think they really needed extra picks, but certainly it's a team that is building and trying to move away from the Dan Snyder regime. So I guess, whereas they didn't really need extra picks, when you get another second round pick, I think it's a pretty good deal. I mean, the Eagles gave them a very fair trade compensation to move up what was 10 slots to grab their guy. Who was their guy? The guy that had a lot of talk before the draft, as far as a rising player, and that's Cooper DeJean. I've heard his last name pronounced different ways. Cooper DeJean, Cooper DeJean, Cooper DeJean. Whatever the case may be. He is one of the top-ranked cornerbacks also in this draft. And Eagles moved up, gave it away. They swapped the 50th and 40th pick with the Commanders, and also gave up their second-round pick, the 53rd pick, three picks later, to the Commanders as well. So the Commanders ended up with two second-round picks. They had to move back 10 slots, and then they picked up another second-round pick, just three picks after the one that they swapped. So pretty, really good. And then there was like a third and a fourth, I think, in that mix too, as far as picks. I think the Eagles got a third back from Washington, and I think they gave a fourth as well. Something like that. I mean, don't quote me. So Cooper DeJean, I mean, all of a sudden, I should say, the Eagles now have depth at cornerback and youth at cornerback. So Howie strikes gold twice. Now, of course, we've got to see how good these guys end up being. But, you know, you have to say that, you know, those are two real solid picks, in the, say the least, to be conservative, by Howie there. Then the third round, they had the 31st pick, and they took, which is probably the riskiest pick in the draft by Howie. It is a guy with tremendous upside, but is very raw. He's a former safety converted to edge rusher. He had a very late bloom in terms of his growth spurt, and ended up being too big to play safety and moved up to edge. And he played at a very small school. He's out of Houston Christian University. I can't remember the last player that was ever drafted out of that. Maybe he's the first one. I don't know. And his name is Jalix Hunt. And when you watch this guy play, and I have, you know, I've done video, a lot of video footage on all these guys now. I shouldn't say that. Let me back up. I haven't seen much of Anais Smith yet, Trevor Keegan, Johnny Wilson, or Dylan McMahon. So as I say that, I haven't done, you know, the later guys, I haven't really looked into too much. But these other ones I have. And so by the time we do our draft recap, with Matt and Johnny, I would have gone through that footage and give you more deeper thoughts on those guys. But I have looked into Jalix Hunt, and here's what it reminds me of, and this is not a reach. Well, it's going to be viewed as a reach, but I want to preface my remarks when I make this compass and comparison, that I'm not saying this guy's going to be as good as this guy. I'm just saying when I look at the video footage, this is who he reminds me of. And that's what a comp is, right? I'm not going to say the guy's going to be the next, you know, coming of whomever. I'm just saying that when I watch him, this is what he reminds me of. Okay? Much like I said with Jalen Carter and Jerome Brown. I said when I watched Jalen Carter's highlight film last year, he reminded me of Jerome Brown. And he played a lot last year like Jerome Brown. Kind of fizzled toward the end of the season, but that's to be expected when you're a rookie. But I do think that Jalen Carter has got a very, very bright future here with the Eagles. Getting back to Jalix Hunt, when I watch his video footage, he reminds me of Javon Kearse. So some of you fans out there may not be old enough to remember Javon Kearse. He played with the Eagles in the 2004 Super Bowl. He was on that team. And he was... you know, he was originally drafted by the Tennessee Titans. And he was a, they called him the Freak, because he had this freakish ability. He was kind of tall, lanky, put together like an Adonis. I mean, really built. I mean, he wasn't big, he wasn't like thickly built, but he was very, he had freakish strength and speed. And that was his game. Probably more speed than even strength, was Javon Curse. And that's what he reminds me of. Now, again, I'm not saying he's the next Javon Curse, or we drafted a guy that's going to be that type of player. I don't know. I'm just saying when I watch him, that's what he reminds me of, Javon Curse. But we'll see. It's definitely a risky pick, but there was a lot of teams that were intrigued by this guy. So we'll see. He's going to be a little bit of a project. You can't expect this guy to come right in and perform, but this is a guy that you may hear from in a couple of years down the road, hopefully, that he's really pushing to be a starter. So we'll see. In the fourth round, and this is probably the least exciting pick that I was, honestly, but there's a lot of people that like this guy a lot, and I love the college. I like Clemson, and that's Will Shipley, the running back out of Clemson. What I like about this pick and what I don't like about the pick, I think there was other running backs that were better than him on the board. Or I shouldn't say that, because I don't know if they're better. That I liked better than Shipley. But what you do like about Shipley is his versatility. He's good as a receiver out of the backfield, which is key in the Eagles' offense. And he's got a little bit of he's not really a powerful guy. You know, you're not going to see him running over people. He's a smaller back. But he does have a little bit of a juke, you know. He can make people miss. And he's a smart kid. I listened to his interview. He seems to be a pretty bright guy. So we'll see how he does in, like, pass protection, things of that nature. But, you know, it's not a bad pick. I just think there's other guys, running backs, that I think would have been a better pick. But we'll see. I'm not going to criticize it too much. I just think there's some other options there that I probably would have considered over him. In round five, they went with Aeneas Smith, the wide receiver from Texas A&M. I liked a couple of players here better than him. I don't know much about him. Like I just mentioned earlier, I got to do more research on him. I love the school. I'm a big Texas A&M guy. It's one of those schools that I like. So we'll see. I really need to learn more about him. Matt, on the pre-draft show that unfortunately you guys weren't able to hear, was very high on the Virginia wide receiver, Washington, who, after I looked him up a little bit, that's kind of the guy I would have liked the Eagles to go after there. But we'll see what we get from, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing his name right, Aeneas, I don't know if it's Aeneas Smith or Aeneas, I think it's Aeneas Smith. And then in the second pick of the fifth round, the Eagles moved up. They had a later pick in the fifth, and they actually moved up to take who we all as Eagle fans. I don't know if there's any Eagle fan out there that did not want to see this guy be drafted by the Eagles. And as these rounds went through, we didn't think he'd be a second-round pick, but from third and a fourth and then the first pick in the fifth, we're like, are the Eagles going to take Jeremiah Trotter Jr.? And the Eagles moved up in the fifth, 20th pick of the fifth round, and drafted Jeremiah Trotter Jr., the linebacker out of Clemson. And as an Eagle fan who watched his father play his entire career, was a huge fan of his father, I think it's definitely, since it's the fifth round, worth the pick. Value-wise, I think it's exceptional value. And then, of course, you know, if he doesn't end up succeeding in the NFL, then it's just a fifth-round pick. It's not the end of the world. You know, had they invested a third-round pick on him, you know, that's a different story. But a fifth-round pick, definitely worth it to bring in a lineage of Jeremiah Trotter, his son, who is a good player. I mean, let's just, you know, I've seen a lot of highlights on him. This kid can play. He's a little undersized, so he's not built like his father. Now, Matt would mention, and he did during the pre-draft, that he could grow into his body more. Absolutely. So it's a good point to be made. But he's he's still not, you know, bulky, beastly like his father was. So it's a different type of linebacker. And the exceptions need to be tempered, you know. This guy is not his father. Now, we hope that he's ends up being a good player and a contributor and a, you know, starting linebacker. That'd be fantastic. To see the axe chop come back to Philadelphia from Jeremiah Trotter's son, the first time that happens, the link is going to absolutely explode. But let's temper our expectations, okay? So he's a fifth-round draft pick, and he's got an opening now. I mean, let's face it. The Eagles don't have much depth at linebacker, so the door is there for him. And so is number 54, by the way. So I would think it's likely that Jeremiah Trotter Jr. will be wearing his father's number, which is, it just gives you chills, doesn't it? I love it. The last pick of the fifth round, the Eagles took Trevor Keegan, the guard out of Michigan. I don't know much about him at all, other than he's coming from Michigan. And they just won a national championship, so he's got to be at least halfway decent. So interesting to kind of dig into him a little bit more before the recap show. Johnny Wilson, what I know about him is he's a freaking beast. He's like 6'6 or 6'7 and 240. I mean, he's a gigantic wide receiver. And apparently that's what he's going to play. Now, I don't know if the Eagles draft him to be a wide receiver or a potential tight end, because to me, his, you know, his body tells me he's more of a tight end. But red zone target, hello. This guy is a beast. 6'6", 6'6", 6'7". I mean, I've seen him listed a couple different heights, but and then 240. He's a big guy. So out of Florida State, and that was the ninth pick of the sixth round. And then the last pick the Eagles made in the sixth, pick 14, the center, Dylan McMahon out of North Carolina State. I haven't done much about him either. So that's the Eagles draft. And I tell you what, like I said, it was mostly defense. They did draft a running back, a guy that I wasn't all that enthused about, but I'm willing to give him a chance. I mean, he seems to be a pretty smart player. He seems to be, he's really good out of the backfield. You know, I'm concerned maybe initially about pass protection and, you know, if he's a good enough running back to succeed in this league, we'll find all that out. The wide receivers, a couple of them, and then they did try to get some line depth later in the draft. So, but very, very excited about the two corners. I love those first two picks. Third pick, I'm also intrigued by this guy. I think I've seen the ability that, and the reasons why the Eagles did take a shot at him. So we'll see what we get out of him. And then getting Jeremiah Trotter is just the icing on the proverbial cake. So those are my initial thoughts on the draft. And an episode 200 is going to be a short one. I don't want to, like, just talk and just to talk. I want to keep this short, sweet. And again, just thank you for listening. Thank you for being very patient, because I know that I've had, normally I do, especially coming up to the draft, I usually do quite a bit more than I did this year. And it's just because I'm putting the work into the YouTube launch, which is going to be such a level up from what you're getting here on a podcast. I'm very limited and have been as far as really where I want to bring this podcast. So, you know, the work's being put in to make that a successful launch. And I just really, really, really thank you for your patience in waiting out some of these episodes. And like I said, we did actually record a good hour and 20 minutes pre-draft episode that just never made it because it never recorded. The issue with the, for those of you who may be curious as to why, okay, well, why, if it's not recording, why do you keep recording? It doesn't tell me that it's not recording. That's the other problem. I don't get any notification during the show while I'm recording that it stopped recording or it hasn't taken or any errors, messages or anything like that. So I don't know. I don't know at all until the episode's over and I go to save it and it doesn't save. It's just lost. And it's so frustrating because especially when I have, you know, it's one thing if it just happens for me or to me when I'm doing the show solo, which doesn't happen often. I mean, what I'm talking about has happened maybe a handful of times in the 2 years I've been on. But It happens more often when I have the guests on the show because they tend to go a little bit longer. It seems to have an issue when it goes over an hour's length. Again, that'll be a problem that's completely wiped away once we're on YouTube. I can do a 5-hour episode and not have to worry about the show being lost or cut off or anything like that. That's another added bonus to it. So anyway, I did an hour and 20 minutes and the show didn't take. And the biggest frustrating part of that is that, you know, I got Matt taking time out to be on the show and Johnny, time to take on the show, and it's all lost. And it kind of goes all for naught. Now, both of those guys are cool guys. They understand and keep coming back. So I really appreciate that. And we will have a draft recap episode later, probably next week. We'll give it another few days. And like I said, I'm hesitant to say it, but it's possible we may launch that on YouTube. More than likely, we're a few more weeks out. But like I said, working hard behind the scenes to get that going. So one last reminder. If you haven't done so already, make sure you jump on YouTube, search Philadelphia Eagles Talk /Jeff, just like it shows on your podcast platform. Jeff spelled, of course, G-E-O-F-F. Find me on YouTube. Subscribe, even though there's not been any programs on it yet. You'll see that the last few episodes of this podcast are on there, so you can go back and listen to any of those. So you'll see that. And then going forward, the podcast will be live on YouTube. And then, of course, will always be archived after that. And when it's live is when you want to jump on, whichever way you want to jump, and be able to be part of the show. Ask questions, make comments, react live what I'm saying, all that kind of good fun stuff. I can't wait. I'm excited about it. And I hope that you are as well. All right, with that being said, thank you again for tuning in to Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. And you have to be happy. You got to be excited about the draft. And I can't wait to talk to you about it more on an upcoming episode. It's another exciting time after the rough season we had last year, the way it ended. The tide has turned. This Eagles team is serious about getting back to prominence and making up for what they did to us last year. Until next time, take care, fly Eagles fly, and we'll check out later.